to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The church, God's people, the saints, have been put into the sinful world, this kingdom of Satan, for a number of purposes. First, we immediately think of the purpose of evangelism. John 17, as you, the Father, sent me, the Son, into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Second, we're here for reward. That would be 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. And third, we're here for remedial training. That would be Romans chapter 5. Our tribulation brings about character. God is preparing us to rule and reign with Him for all eternity. But for now, we're in God's learning center. And this program, God and Country, is meant to help the church's love grow in knowledge and in all discernment. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, 9 would make a good theme verse for this program. So today's subject, from which we can draw some biblical lessons, is President Trump's speech last month at the UN, with the media making a big controversy over the president's phone call with the Ukrainian president. President Trump's speech at the UN had been overlooked. And I'm actually sure many world leaders are glad that Trump's speech was buried, because the president said many things which refute the spirit of this age. Specifically, President Trump denounced globalism. And yes, he actually denounced globalism in front of the one organization that is all about globalism, the UN. And the significance of Trump's speech is felt more keenly if one understands how the ideology of globalism pervades the UN. For example, Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the United Nations from 1997 to 2006, said arguing against globalization is like arguing against the laws of gravity. Secretary General Moon from 2007 to 2016 said the merits of globalization are selectively ignored in many debates, which pushes the world into a dangerous situation. Guterres, the current Secretary General, said, "I am deeply convinced that globalism is irreversible." Quote, "But one thing must be very clear. We won't make globalization fair by isolationism, protectionism, or exclusion. Global problems need global multilateral solutions." And quote, "Multilateralism is the cornerstone of the UN." Now, just a note here, the word globalism has taken on so much negative connotation that the new buzzword to replace it has become multilateralism. And another message being pushed by the UN is to address the fear of globalism by saying what we need is a globalism that will be fair to the poor. Now, all of this sounds altruistic and peace-loving, but in principle, it lays down a worldview that's contrary to God's plan. So let's briefly review the biblical mandates for the nations. Remember Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel? The people want to create a one-world government, thinking that this would bring about peace and prosperity. Yet God separated the nations because power concentrated in one place or by one group would bring about evil and totalitarianism. It always does. Power corrupts. Then throughout the Old Testament, we see the goal of man has been to consolidate power and to build empires. The Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. And the prophet Daniel calls these empires beasts. In Acts chapter 17, Paul points out that God made every nation and he determined their appointed times and boundaries. Paul was working off the principle of Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of men, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. And in the book of the Revelation, at the end of this age, the prophecy warns that an Antichrist spirit and an Antichrist person will attempt to unite the nations together. Revelation 13:7, he has authority over every tribe and people and tongue, and the nation was given to him. So, the Christian worldview has always emphasized nationalism, that God mandates individual, independent nations in competition with one another, lest Genesis 11:6, nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them, and so that when persecution comes, there is another city to which Christians can flee, Matthew chapter 10. So, because the default position of man is evil, the consolidated power of man will always result in evil. However, world leaders today, without a biblical view of man, without a biblical worldview, consider globalism a virtue. That globalism is the new way to peace. If everyone is united, there'll be no reason for war. The competition between nations and nationalism are considered racism and prejudice, something that flows out of pride and ignorance. And for these secular leaders, the biggest source of evil in this world is religion, because it divides people ideologically. For them, it represents the old way of thinking about man and nations, and having a new way of thinking is the key to happiness and peace. They believe that Christianity has kept people down, that's kept the world from advancing. It's kept people separate. Netflix is actually putting out a new movie depicting time-traveling liberals who carry out pre-crime murders of patriots to prevent an American uprising against globalism. In this movie, the villains to be killed are the anti-globalists. The movie is called In the Shadow of the Moon. And this is actually the way many world leaders think. And these social leaders think that President Trump represents that old way of thinking about nations, about God, about values. He's an obstacle. He's a setback. So here's a portion of what the president said at the UN. Quote, "Americans know that in a world where others seek conquest and domination, our nation must be strong in wealth, in might, and in spirit. That is why the United States vigorously defends the traditions and the customs that have made us who we are. Like my beloved country, each nation represented in this hall has a cherished history, culture, and heritage that is worth defending and celebrating, and which gives us our singular potential and strength. The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them." So here the president is refuting this idea of multiculturalism, that countries need to abandon their culture and their traditions in deference to a new world order where there are no cultures or boundaries. President Trump went on to say, "Looking around and over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that can make each country special and unique. It is why we in the United States have embarked on an exciting program of national renewal. In everything we do, we are focused on empowering the dreams and the aspirations of our citizens." Unquote. So here the president is refuting the very thing being said by the globalists, by the open border crowd. They're saying taking pride in your country results in bondage. The president says, if you want freedom, take pride in your country. They're saying to have freedom, we need to get rid of national sovereignty. The president is saying, if you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. They're saying nationalism results in war. The president is saying, if you want peace, love your nation. They're saying the future belongs to the globalists. And the president says the future belongs not to the globalists, but to patriots, to sovereign and independent nations. Each line in the president's speech was carefully written to refute the claims of the globalists. So now you see why Trump's comments were offensive to this crowd at the UN. It's kind of like holding a pro-life sign at a pro-abortion rally, or like holding a pro-traditional marriage sign at a gay pride parade. The UN is all about globalism, and yet the president stands up, has no reservations to say to all of these diplomats, the future doesn't belong to globalism. Now, in this, the president was expressing a biblical worldview. That being that God's plan for a stable world comes by pushing nationalism, not globalism. Not that countries shouldn't be talking to each other, but the UN is really all about globalism, central control. Now, why is Donald Trump for nationalism? You know, obviously, the president is not a theologian. He doesn't hold to nationalistic convictions because he studied the book of Genesis or the book of Daniel or the book of the Revelation. Trump's opponents are claiming that his nationalism flows out of racism and bigotry toward others. In fact, they claim that all nationalism is based upon primitive racism. But really, the best explanation is that Donald Trump is simply holding to traditions. He's 73 years old. He's from the old school. He still thinks like World War II vets, that America is built on better values than most countries in the world. You know, that America needs to survive to defend against communism. And Trump may actually be holding to nationalism out of some sort of tribalism. You know, my team versus their team. He may even have some sort of dislike for other cultures. But if you think about it, most nationalism in the world is for that very reason. Cultural preferences. And this is why God confounded the languages in the first place. To create these social, tribalistic barriers. I mean, do you think the people of the world were going to follow God's mandate for nations willingly? No. Without some vested interest, without even some sinful prejudice, they would ignore God's commands and get together. God even uses the pride of these groups to keep them separate. You know, most people don't steal because they have a well-thought-out theology of private ownership. They don't steal because they don't want the consequences. So just because some people are nationalistic for the wrong reasons, doesn't mean nationalism is wrong. You know, most of the right things done in this world are done for the wrong reasons. That's just how the world works. What's important is that the right thing gets done. And it's nonsense to say, I don't think we should support the president's nationalistic stance because he might have some racist motives. Well, that's just a misunderstanding of how God moves the heart of a king, like channels of water, to do the right thing. So, what was the reaction to Trump's comments at the UN? Headlines from the Washington Post. Trump condemns globalism, touts nationalistic views of foreign affairs at UN. President Trump delivered one of the harshest critiques of globalism here Tuesday at the UN General Assembly, promoting the American First ethos that has defined his presidency on issues of defense, trade, and immigration, before a body built on international cooperation. His message for the 74th session of the annual gathering of world leaders was clear as he argued that a view of the world as a global commons had exerted a religious pull over past leaders at the expense of their own nations. Article in Politico. The leaders of the United Nations and the United States offered opposing views at the General Assembly on Tuesday. Guterres, the Secretary General, spoke about reaffirming the principles of multilateralism and international cooperation upon which the UN was founded. In sharp contrast, U.S. President Donald Trump delivered a forceful defense of nationalism and individual state sovereignty, which also served as a denunciation of globalization and a warning against pluralistic compromise that included blustery boasting about U.S. military supremacy. Time magazine, UN head, warns leaders, the world is facing a great fracture. The General Secretary said, we must do everything possible to avert the great fracture and maintain a universal system, a universal economy with universal respect for international law, a multipolar world with strong multilateral institutions. The President of France responded to Trump's speech. The President of the United States said that the future doesn't belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The President of France said, not so. The world's problems cannot be solved by turning inward. True patriotism combines a love of one's nation with multilateralism, based on real cooperation that strives to produce concrete results. Here's an article in The Atlantic. Donald Trump issues a scathing rejection of globalism. In his UN speech, the U.S. president went after several countries and institutions, but perhaps none more so than the world order itself. We reject the ideology of globalism in favor of the ideology of patriotism. So spoke the American president from the pulpit before a congregation convened in the spirit of global cooperation. So, no matter what you think of President Trump, if you know and follow a biblical worldview, you have to be amazed that President Trump is putting the brakes on the globalist movement, a movement that dominates the social political thought of our day in a very prophetic way. You know, out of curiosity, I went back to listen to two speeches President Obama made at the UN. And the tenor of his speeches were globalism. Quote from President Obama, we have to keep peace with an interconnected world. We must have a renewed international system that gives us progress. We must have collective responsibility, collective effort. We must renew the purpose of the UN founding. Yes, we must defend the interests of my people, but in 2009, the interests of nations and people are shared. We share a common future. The work we must do together. Time has come for the world to move in a new direction. We must embrace a new era of engagement based on interest and mutual respect. A new era of engagement with the world. A global response to global challenges. So, what a difference between what President Obama said and what President Trump said. That the future does not belong to globalists. It belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign, independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. Now, someone sent me an article that tried to make the case that Trump says these things, but it's actually a scam to fool conservatives. Trump is actually a double agent for the left. He says these things against globalism, but in the back room, he's telling these leaders, I have to say this to fool my constituency. Quote from the article, Trump is not just an unwitting scapegoat. He is a participant in the game, playing a theatrical role, a bumbling villain. In the script, he's an anti-globalist who trips over his own hubris and causes the downfall of the American empire. He is playing the pig-headed conservative that proves once and for all why conservative philosophy is evil and why the leftists were right all along. Well, that's an interesting conspiracy theory. You know, if Trump does something leftist, he's a leftist. And if he does something conservative, it must be a ruse to make conservatives think that he's on their side. It sounds to me like sour grapes. Anti-authorian contrarianism. You know, it reminds me of the Pharisees when Jesus did something right. He said Jesus must be casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. He's a double agent. Well, here's what I think we can take away from the president's UN speech. Despite all the president's faults, God is using him to give his people a reprieve, a temporary hiatus from the leftist agenda. Remember, according to Psalm chapter 2, the world leaders, the UN, are involved in an international conspiracy. The nations are in an uproar. The people devise a vain thing. The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. On a conscious and an unconscious level, this is the goal of almost everyone sitting in the 74th session of the UN General Assembly. And given the ungodliness of this world, we should all be surprised that the Antichrist is not already reigning. In listening to the presidential candidates on the left, you know, if the left takes over the House, the Senate, and the presidency, there will be a fundamental change in America. Last week, Beto O'Rourke said that the president should resign to allow this country to heal and to assure that we come back together with the greatest, most ambitious agenda we've ever faced. None of this is possible while he remains in power. Cory Booker said, we're sick and tired of the U.S. Constitution sitting in our national archives, manipulating everything we do. Elizabeth Warren said, we need judges to be advocates of progressive law, not people who will bow to the whims of the Constitution. Chuck Schumer said, these right-wing judges don't think for themselves. They just do whatever the Constitution says, and it's time for that to end. So a day is coming when the left will get back into power. Remember, the majority of Americans voted for Hillary Clinton, pro-abortion, pro-transgenderism, and the voting public is fickle. It's unprincipled. And they will eventually be deceived by the propaganda. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may all be judged. But until then, it's just interesting to watch how God is putting the brakes on their agenda. Because Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And notice how God uses some very interesting characters and events to thwart the spirit of the age. God uses people like Jehu and Cyrus and Nebuchadnezzar to pluck down, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. God often uses characters to do the dirty work so that God's people don't have to do the dirty work. So rather than complaining, let's just rejoice that God is on the throne. Let's rejoice that God raises up defenders of the truth, judges, and let us be busy doing what God has called us to do, the work of evangelism and discipleship, because we must work the works of him who sent us as long as it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other previous programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. From the website, godandcountryradio.org, you can access all of these links. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, it's amazing to hear our president expressing your truth, the truth that's hated by the spirit of this age. Help us to see your hand of providence and restraint so we can appreciate all the more the open door that you have set before us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.